The good news of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he'd seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped there with fasting and prayer day and night. At that moment, she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they'd finished everything required by the law, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. This is the Candlemas Gospel of the Lord. May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we have Simeon and Anna in the temple. Strange story, atmospheric, compelling, but in fact, the parents of Jesus were just doing a very ordinary thing for their child. So an important thing for us, perhaps looking back, not that extraordinary for them, in fact. However, we today celebrate this Candlemas as a Kairos moment, a special moment, a fulfillment for all people, a light to enlighten the Gentiles. That's us, by the way, in case you were wondering. Hope for all, not just the Jews and the Jewish nation. We have these moments in our lives. We have these times of fulfillment that are often unplanned and unexpected, and some pass by unnoticed, mainly because we're too wrapped up in our own concerns to notice them. Or we're looking in the wrong places, perhaps. We're quite good at that as human beings. We're busy looking over there while God is busy working here. Simeon and Anna have waited faithfully in the temple. They've stayed focused, to use some modern jargon. Some, by all accounts, they weren't actually doing anything out of the ordinary, other than they'd been doing for a very long time. Yet they stay focused on the fulfillment of this promise of God's Messiah, God's chosen one, rather than the latest diocesan plan for growth. Expectant and prayerful they are, and they are not disappointed. So whatever your politics, it is undeniable, I think, that for all sorts of reasons we're living in turbulent times. And there's a lot to take us away from God, in fact, to make us anxious and afraid. It's actually ludicrous to deny that there are now millions of Americans, for example, who are fearful about what is coming next for them. It is bad enough, but that is bad enough in itself. But what is worse is to see many more conservative Christians claiming God's will for the decisions that are being made against those who were born in the USA, or against those in same-sex marriages, for example. Agreeing with the president in blaming diversity and equality policies for the air crash over the Potomac. It is quite literally beyond belief. We are entitled to our views as long as they respect the freedom and dignity of those with whom we disagree. But being sure that our views are God's too is a dangerous road which has cost many millions of lives down the centuries. So does that mean then that we can't say anything useful about God? Well, we can start by taking a leaf out of Simeon and Anna's book, as it were. We can begin by being attentive in prayer to the signs of God's presence already with us. So we need to take time before we act to think about whether our attitudes are in line with the love that is proclaimed for all people in Simeon's song that I've just spoken out to you as part of the gospel reading, which you'll hear again in a different translation at the end of the service. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. He reaches that moment of fulfillment after a long, long, long pilgrimage of waiting and attentiveness. And the message is that it's there for us all, without exception. That God's loving care and concern is there for the Gentiles. And as I said, that's all of us. That's you. That's me. But this business of attention or attentiveness, as we all know, is a lot harder work than sometimes we realize. One of the biggest problems we have at the moment, though, is that we are too quickly and too easily dividing up into tribes. We're attaching too quickly and too easily labels to things, too frequently dismissive or condemnatory based on our prejudices, our upbringing, our ignorance. We need to keep our eyes open and stop being threatened by everything that is different and other. Now, we are struggling here at St. John's. We are struggling to be a diverse and accepting people of God. It's taking time and energy to build a more inclusive community. The old ways are much easier because we knew where we stood, and we can reach the point where we think that everything new is bad. And those of us who seek progression in these areas are impatient with those who lag behind in their practice or understanding. The work of inclusion is not an exact science, it's an art. It's an art which needs practice, and it takes patience on all our parts. Those of us who are struggling, those of us who want and expect to go further, faster. What is happening in the world is an increasingly intolerant and polarized world. that's at ill at ease with itself, I think, needs to be seen alongside this Candlemas gospel for today. Most of all, we need to keep on being patient, to keep on holding a candle in the darkness like Simeon and Anna, a candle in the darkness for each other and especially for those with whom we disagree. We need to seek encounter with God in what is different and not assume, as many Christians do actually, that God is in our camp and it's the others who are the problem. We need humility, we need mutual respect and generosity alongside a principled stand for what we believe in our hearts to be right. Simeon and Anna were bringers and holders of hope in the darkness. They shone out in the darkness of that temple building. We need to identify how we can do that for and with people. Next Sunday is actually Racial Justice Sunday, and yet another reminder that we are all made in the image and likeness of God, and that Jesus' own face was a face of color. Not the face we see in our stained glass windows, which were more relevant and fitting once, but not so much now. Jesus' face is black and white and all colors. Jesus is the face you see sitting next to you this morning. So what do we do? Well, amongst other things, the church council spent a couple of hours on Thursday alongside folk from other parishes in the diocese learning more about the national standards in safeguarding with their five particular areas of concern so that we can ensure a framework for caring for people. And it felt at times like this was going to be a lot of work, but the end product is hopefully something that will benefit all in our life together. And it's particularly important when we think about historic failures that we get this right, particularly the latest example of the resignation of the Bishop of Liverpool. But first and foremost, it needs to be about vigilance, of course. Vigilance was key for Simeon and Anna. They kept on watching out for God's activity. They held a candle up in the darkness. In a time of darkness and doubt in our world, we need to be both fire and light, beginning in prayerful attention to what God is already doing and trying to tune into it. As Father Paul said, this feast day of Candlemas looks away now from Christmas and points us towards Easter, which is the season of new life and new hope. The Church of England's Lent material this year has got a focus on hope, being bringers of living hope. So perhaps we can spend a bit more time thinking about how we can be the bringers of light and hope, not just here, but elsewhere, out in our community and in our world, beyond these walls. Some time spent in prayer and in quiet, resisting TikTok or Tea Break magazine or whatever it happens to be, even our favourite crime novelists. Even perhaps resisting reading a spiritual book. And setting aside half an hour to remind ourselves of the sources of hope in our lives, in our families, amongst our friends, in our community, thinking about, in the context of our own lives, what are the sources of light in the darkness, and actively seeking out to grow that light and taking time to sit with it. We can do worse than recalling the words of Simeon from the Bible, which again, as I said, we'll hear later in the service, using that as a model, a reminder of God's care for all. One of the few things that makes any sense to me these days is actually coming into church on my own and sitting in the relative darkness of this special place and sitting quietly focusing on the aumbry that's behind me. Now, what is an aumbry? Well, that's a very interesting question, but actually we use the aumbry all the time. And when later in the liturgy you'll see me, I think on this occasion, going up there to collect sacrament that's been reserved through the week for communion of the sick, for example, and as a focus for prayer. And we use that, some of that, as part of our distribution on Sunday mornings. Just to sit there in front of the aumbry, that sign and symbol of the presence of the living Jesus, and to try and shed those complications and to sit with that fragile little light that some of you will be able to see, perhaps not the people on this side of the church, that sits next to it, focusing on that light in the darkness of this vast building, and as it were standing my ground as a priest and refusing to give way to the darkness, if you will, the darkness that presses in all sorts of ways, a gentle reminder that Christ is fire and light in the darkness. Taking time most days to be able to do that, even if it's only a few minutes of time. So much about priesthood and about being a priest is about being fire and light and fanning dying embers into life again, pointing to the sources of light. And so it's crucial then as a priest to spend time with the light of all lights, no matter how fragile we feel or how much darkness seems to close in, standing our ground. Shortly, you might decide to be anointed after you've received communion. That's what we're offering this morning. After you've received communion or a blessing, there'll be a priest on either extreme end of the altar rails here for you to receive that sacrament of anointing. And it's oil blessed by a bishop, and it's a sign of our healing, a reminder of light in the darkness, a reminder of God's loving care and concern for us in illness, in frailty, a reminder of God's grace, God's undeserved gift to us, whoever we are, a sacrament of reassurance, of hope for the future. And the priest will make the sign of the cross on your forehead in oil and on the palms of your hands. So if you do decide to go forward for anointing, just hold out your palms like that, and you'll be anointed, as I say, on head and palms as a sign and seal of God's concern for you and of strength and hope for the future, to take us into that world afresh where we are seeking to be bringers and carriers of hope, of light in the darkness, like Simeon and Anna in the temple. Amen.